Hey everyone, welcome back to episode 8. In this episode, we will be talking to Jeff Garmeyer, better known as Legend on the Trail. If you do not know about this man's epic journey, we suggest that you get on it and learn about his insane adventures. From being only the second person to ever complete the 7,000-mile Great Western Loop in just over 200 days, to crushing races in his lovely pair of Crocs, this man is a beast. In this episode, we talk about the importance of a positive mindset when facing hardship, how the younger generations are all about seeking out experiences, and why everyone should have a fun costume on trail. We hope you enjoy our conversation with Legend. Staring contest, see if you can beat us. Go! I'm gonna win.
I am the Olympic athlete.
My eyes really hurt.
Staring.
My eyes really hurt right now. I lost! Are you guys enjoying the Olympics?
I am! I started watching last night.
Yeah. Did Shaun White win yet?
I'm a little late.
All right. Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to episode 8 of Trail Talks.
Yes, today we are talking to Jeff Garmeyer. He is better known as Legend on the Trail for many reasons, but we will let him explain himself. He has done it all, and I'm tired just looking at what he has accomplished. Back in 2011, he did the PCT, and then he did a calendar year Triple Crown, and then he was the second person to ever complete the Great Western Loop, which is absolutely ridiculous. And then he has FKTs out the wazoo, including the Arizona Trail, the Long Trail, the Colorado Trail.
Oh my god.
He's done crazy races like the Last Man Standing and the Barkley Marathons. Like, I'm impressed.
He's Superman.
He must be. He's an alien. I don't think he's a human.
So we're just super excited to interview him and pick his brain. If you want to see what we're doing over here in Korea, well, check us out on our YouTube. We're not uploading really anymore. We're starting a new project. But check out our old Korea YouTube videos over there on the YouTube or wherever else you can find our videos. Also, check us out on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts, because Trail Talks is there. Yeah. And you can listen to us on your car rides.
And on your hikes.
And on, yes, because we are way better than the beautiful sounds of nature, right? Our annoying voices. Okay, cool. Is there anything else you want to say?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Oh, what was the most amount of miles you hiked in one day? Just in one day. I guess one day could be more than 24 hours if you didn't stop. But what's the most amount of miles you hiked?
24 hours. Let's cap it.
Okay. We planned this. We really did.
42.
All right. Let's do it.
Waiting for the connection.
Waiting, waiting.
Waiting. Let's see.
Hello, sir.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Nice. Hang in there. Just woke up.
Oops.
Ooh, no! Nice. The phone has fallen.
Where are you calling from?
Yeah. Bozeman, Montana.
Nice. Ooh. Is that where you're originally from?
No, I grew up in Portland, Oregon, and then did Denver for a few years, then Tahoe, Costa Rica, and then Bozeman. So.
Wow. And how long have you been in Bozeman for?
Ooh, 2 years, I would say.
Nice. Are you enjoying like all the skiing and all the winter sports?
Yeah, I think you have to, or else Bozeman can be a pretty tough place. But I would say winter, you can do just about everything depending on what type of day you get. Like some days.
Oh no.
What just happened?
I don't know. I think he just cut out. I think we lost connection with him.
No.
Well, there's a brief interruption. Let's see if I can invite him again.
Because he's already in chat. I don't know. Oh.
Oh.
I hear it.
Whoa. It kicked me out. Are you there?
Yeah. We
are there.
We can't see you, though. You look like just a frozen block right now.
Huh. Interesting.
Maybe do you want to leave and then join back again and see if that makes it better?
Yeah. Let's try that.
Yeah.
All right, sweet. Okay. Well, people, stay tuned. We're going to have him on. Just give it a second. Do, 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 do. Oh, both lives are working. Oh, okay.
Both lives? Oh, it was just us.
It's just us.
Well?
Well, sorry, people. We ruined it. Now you get to look at our beautiful faces.
Mountain Dew sponsorship. Hashtag Mountain Dew sponsorship. Oh, do you want to be sponsored by Mountain Dew?
No, but he probably is. And oh, do I want to be?
I'm just asking. We're not frozen for us.
Let's see. I hope it's not our connection. Well, hello.
We're trying.
Hello, everyone.
We're trying our best.
If you don't know us, my name is Danny. That's Molly. And we're waiting on Jeff.
Why isn't it Walla? Let me accept him. Okay.
Let's try again.
Hi.
Hello, Iron Jimbo. Hello.
There we go.
All right. Sorry. Okay.
There we go.
What happened?
Nice. We've just been rambling for the past minute, not too much.
I could hear it, but I guess my video wasn't showing and it like kicked me out all of a sudden. So I don't know if I like got censored real quick.
Technology, man.
Yeah. Oh, well. Warm up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Cool. Can you tell us your origin story? Like, how did you come to be legend?
Yeah, I was born October 27th, 1990 in Portland, Oregon. And then ever since I had to, you know, build my legend. with Nick Tezecker in the comments, I went to Riverview Elementary School, was a road runner, learned everything I know today. And then... yeah, hiked the PCT at 20 years old and then just kind of kept pushing the envelope from there. I did the Pacific Northwest Trail, then the calendar year Triple Crown, did all the Colorado 14ers, Great Western Loop, like 17 FKTs, just kept going for it and piecing it all together, I guess.
Love it. I read on your website how you got the name Legend, and was it on the PCT? Can you explain that story?
Yeah, I was, let's see, we just left Wrightwood and then we were back out on the trail, but we didn't pack out any town food, which is like the dumbest thing. So I was like, I'll hitchhike back to town and get us two large pizzas. And everyone's like, I don't know, it's almost dark. This seems like a bad idea. Lo and behold, I left the group and an hour later showed back up with two large pizzas and they said that it was legendary. So,
wow. Was the pizza hot?
I don't think thru-hikers cared at that point.
Yeah,
that's
true. We'll just make the story even better and say that I kept it warm the whole way.
Yeah.
Like wrapped it in my sleeping bag or something.
Love it.
So how did you originally get into backpacking and then thru-hiking?
Grew up backpacking when I was a year old. My parents took me and I got so many mosquito bites that when they took me to daycare, they wouldn't let me in because they thought I had the chicken pox. So from an early age, things seemed to happen on backpacking trips. Like another time we were caught between a mama bear and her cub. That turned out okay, but I was like 4 years old then. I got Giardia when I was 2 years old. So grew up backpacking. I wouldn't say like everything always went smoothly, but we always went. Every summer we'd go a couple times. So grew up that way. And then I never really planned things out very much. So about a week and a half or 2 weeks before doing the PCT, I decided I was going to do it and just put in notice, quit my job, withdrew from school for the semester, flew to Campo or to San Diego, went to Campo and started with a 55 pound external frame pack and no clue what I was doing. So, I didn't even know how to use my water filter, and at the first water source, it didn't work. So it was like, wow. Okay.
I guess having that many experiences at a young age, though, like the PCT must not have been that scary. It's like, well, I've already experienced bug bites, bears, Giardia.
I mean, it just seemed stupidly long. Like, that's where it was different. Yeah. Like we always hike 3 miles into a lake and spend a long weekend there. This was like, you had to do 3 miles by the time you ate breakfast. I couldn't really comprehend the mileage.
Was there, I feel like with social media now, there's so many young people now attempting through hikes. Was there a lot of 20-year-olds when you did it back in 2011?
Yeah, but it wasn't, like, social media wasn't big. There were, like, maybe 500 people that started, like, 150 or 200 finished that year. Wow. Social media was nothing. The phone sucks so much that there was no, like, you could maybe get texts out, but you couldn't, the videos that people shot weren't very good. YouTube was still pretty young. You would read blogs to get an idea of things, and then this website called Postholer, which is still out there, but it had all like the resources and the resupply points, but it was a very different, like Guthook wasn't around. There weren't GPS tracks. We had half mile maps and used a compass, and it was a record snow year in the Sierra. So we had to, we're all like learning to orienteer while we're trying to find Forester Pass. It was crazy. It was just like a full immersion experience versus this, like these days you can always be connected, whether it's like texting or a Garmin inReach or some other form of communication. Back then it was like, all right, we're going into the Sierra, maybe we'll talk to you in like a week. It was really cool, and I think that's what was like that full adventure. You were away from it with like no way of talking till you came out the other side.
If you could have a through hike without it or with the technology, would you have it with or without?
Oh, I would go without. Yeah. Nice. Get rid of everything. Yeah,
I get it. I understand.
Nowadays, like when you're out there, do you try and keep it to a minimum when you're on your phone just to still have that same experience?
Oh, I don't know. I would say try, but not very hard. I mean, there's ways to have fun. There's ways to be connected. There's ways to log your hikes and like jot down things, which is really cool. So there are benefits too, but it's just it's different. I mean, like, now there's like hiker influences or minor celebrities that are hiking the PCT or the AT, and it's like, that's so different. Before it was like, oh, this person who is so mysterious, maybe you'll see him, he's just a legend around the trails, no one else has heard of him. Like, that's how it was back then. So
so you did the trail in under, you said, I think it said 4 months you did the trail.
Yeah, I think 110 days or something, 112 days, yeah.
Was it a goal to go at a faster pace, or is that just how it happened?
No goals. I didn't even think I would finish. I mean, I didn't know if I would finish. Just 2,600 miles was too long. And then I got to Mammoth Lakes and had decided I didn't need three extra pairs of pants, so I mailed a lot home. And then once you train with 55 pounds for like 700 miles and then slowly work down to like the low 40s, then you're kind of in good shape to go a little bit faster. So the second half of the trail, I was moving pretty good just from sheer willpower to get through the first half.
Yeah. What's your athletic background?
I played sports in high school. I'd say that's it. I mean, you know, superstar. Yeah. Athletic superstar.
A legend even then.
No, just typical high school sports. I mean, Nothing too crazy. I don't know. It wasn't, I didn't really love running, but also I'm of the generation where running was a punishment. So everyone hated running. And then once you get to like hiking in high school, backpacking was like, oh, we're going to go backpacking. But I don't know. I guess I like grew into loving it more and appreciating it. But growing up in the Northwest, there's so much cool stuff. But when you're there, you don't appreciate it as much as when you hike back through it.
You ride the unicycle?
Oh, of course, yeah. Ride the unicycle, juggle knives, handstands, get in a big bear costume and hop around. All kinds of anything that's like fun or funny, I'm completely in.
Nice.
I love that. So did you guys have any like crazy experiences in the Sierras since it was such a high snow year?
Yeah, we couldn't figure out where Forrester Pass was. It was so snow covered, and we got to like this branch, like I think it's called like Lake South America or something like that up there. And you can go one way around like this ridge line. And we were kind of thinking it was that way. And we stopped, broke a hole in the ice to get water out of this stream flowing under it. And then we're just all huddled around my hard copy map with a compass. None of us know how to use either one, and eventually stumbled upon going the right way up to Forrester Pass. So that was interesting. And then the very next day we were climbing Mount Whitney at sunset, or we were climbing it at night so we could see the sunrise. Mm-hmm. And we got lost and ended up like class five scrambling with backpacks up one of the pinnacles because we just couldn't see the trail. And eventually it was like, this is not right. And so we dropped back down and slept on the trail and then finished out the climb in the morning. But that was pretty crazy. I mean, everything just was so raw and a new experience that it was just a really like an eye-opening thing for a 20-year-old for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good thing we have far out now.
What? You don't want to
yeah.
Snuggle?
Yeah. Maybe. Nah, no.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice fallback thing to have, like where you're actually going.
Yeah, for sure.
So 2011 ended, and did you try going back to the real world and then getting back into trail life?
Yeah, I've kind of skirted or straddled the two. I went back and got a real college degree and then took a job in Colorado, but I couldn't stay away from it too long. So on my weekends while working full-time, I climbed all 58 of the Colorado 14,000 foot peaks. So it was like, okay, if I work 60 or 70 hours during the week, I get, I don't know, like 57 hours between Friday afternoon and Monday morning to just go for it. And some weekends I climbed like 11 or 12 or something.
Oh, it was God.
Did it all in like 10 weeks. It was pretty awesome, but it was sort of like, I don't know if it's sustainable to be all into both of these at the same time.
I was gonna say, no burnout ever?
I mean, by the time I was done, I didn't want to like go up in the mountains for a couple months. yeah, I don't think I've had too much issue with burnout. I think the biggest thing that I like to do is jump between things, like a lot of people do. One long trail, and the next year another long trail, next year another long trail. I guess I've always done it more in like go after a long trail, then maybe it's a week and a half or a 2 week FKT push, or maybe ultra running or climbing, mountaineering or peak bagging or something. Just changing it up, I think, has been so good for appreciating all of them. And then once it's been long enough since you've done one, you're like excited to jump back into it.
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it.
Are you the type of person to prep and train for these types of things, or are you just full sending it? Like, let's just do it.
Full send. Yeah.
Amazing.
I think I planned the Great Western Loop in like a week and a half. Yeah. It was just like, let's go for it.
Love it.
When did you hear about that trail and how much preparation time went into it?
Not a lot of hours. Like a week, week and a half. Yeah. I had to drop a 700 mile section of it to hike on my own and figure out what water sources would be available. But yeah, I just like don't know. I like putting my head down and finding the minimum possible to be successful. And that's what I'll do.
And that was your third time doing the PCT, right?
Yeah. Yep.
What is that exciting? Like still to do the PCT that many times in a decade?
Oh, yeah. It's best trail out there. I guess it was the third time in 7 years. And if you add up the days on the PCT, it's probably less than the average for one through hike. But it was just like, I don't know. It was like a really cool way to experience it because like the Sierra, you know, like which passes I can do two in one day, which ones I need to lay up for, or like you know certain things along the trail and stuff. And I don't know, the PCT is a trail that doesn't get old. I think it's kind of the best laid out trail there is, the like most immersion, the best, somewhat best maintained depending on the year. Like you get the variability that you don't get on the AT because you have the high mountains and the desert, and you get low desert on like the CDT, but also the access to amenities and resupplies are set up perfectly. It's like too good of a trail. That's why everyone wants to do it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So you guys are doing it soon, right?
Yeah,
we start March 29th.
March 29th.
So it's coming up pretty soon.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You not planning for your through hikes makes us feel better because we're still over in Korea and we get home March 2nd. So we'll have about 25-ish days, which if you can do it in a week, we'll be fine.
We'll be able to do it in a
month.
We'll
be able to prep.
Yeah, that's almost too much time. So you'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll go crazy if you
You'll start overthinking stuff.
Big time.
Was it cool to see, like, what were some of the, were there any big changes that you saw from year to year as you did the PCT, like, three times? Were there any really big changes?
Yeah, obviously the number of people increased quite a bit. And then the biggest thing is kind of trending more towards the AT and that there's more businesses along it and less trail angels, just because it's not sustainable to have 10,000 people hiking it with just trail angels helping along the way. So just kind of growing up and becoming a lot more business oriented than just kind of the grassroots thing, which the CDT kind of still is. But I don't know, it's held up surprisingly well considering all the traffic it gets and the like. A trail like the Arizona Trail, it has two seasons, so it kind of has spring and fall, and then it has two seasons in between to kind of recover. The PCT doesn't really have that, so I'm glad that it seemed to do pretty well, I guess, just by, I don't know, getting that time to recover, like, in the 1 month people aren't trekking along it, but yeah, naturally it's done pretty good. Wildfires, of course, have decimated it, but definitely just the commercialization of through hiking, because there's so many of us now.
Yeah. Someone asked, I'm going to jump for a sec in the chat. They asked twice, so I want to ask the question. What is your beard maintenance routine? Someone asked.
Oh, man. I don't know. Probably just like when I'm frozen out there, just have my snot drip into it and just rub it in and just really let that thing go.
Nice.
I'd say less is more with personal hygiene. Come on.
Amen.
Yeah. We're all stewards of the land, so the less we require.
Love that.
Perfect. Thank you.
The Great Western Loop or the calendar year Triple Crown, which one was harder to complete?
Oh, I don't know. Probably the Great Western Loop. It's just such a tight timeline. It requires coming up, drawing your own route through sections, figuring out what water is going to be. And you have to, so you enter the Sierra, if you're going clockwise, as early as you feel good. And then you got to make it back around to the other side of that loop through the Southern Rockies before winter hits. And so it's kind of a race once you start going through the Sierra there. And I don't know, it's like a 6 month race to make it back around. And you just get some of everything, which makes it really cool, but also just so variable. Like it snowed pretty early on. I got snow in Southern Colorado, Northern New Mexico, and didn't really have the gear for that. But yeah, I think it's not harder maybe, but it's just more of an adventure. It's just like, you got to figure it out. It's going to be different for everyone.
How early on, like within, I guess, doing your PCT the first time, did the idea of doing these crazy long distances and then trying to push yourself as fast as you could go, when did that kind of become your new obsession to do?
Well, interestingly, I was in the middle of the PCT that first time in college. It was like, well, I don't know if I could get time off or take a break from life two more times to do the other two Triple Crown trails. So it was like, maybe I could do two in one season. And then, you know, as you keep hiking and there's like 1,000 miles left, plenty more time to think. It's like, I wonder if I could do all three in one season. And then that's kind of where the idea started. And then fast forward, I guess like 4 or 5 years. And it was like, oh, I think I could do this. I think it's the point where I had the mindset, the ability, the drive. And it was like, let's just see what happens. So left my job, started, I don't know, like February 5th or something. And then just was going to see if I could make it work.
Oh my gosh. Nice. Did you sustain any injuries on either through hike?
Yeah, I get pretty, after 5,000 miles of beating your body up, tendonitis, like clockwork almost seems lit to creep in there. So I've had some tendonitis, like overuse stuff, but I don't know, with just rolling it out with either a trekking pole or a smooth rock, it seems like that can be held at bay for the final push. But just overuse stuff, nothing major. Had a lot of ankle rolls, but they're so destroyed they just seem to snap back into place.
Yeah, I felt like that on the AT a lot.
Yeah,
my ankles.
Yeah, especially like Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So you've done the PCT three times. You've done the CDT twice. Do you have any desire to like do the AT again, just so you're like ranking your numbers up?
No, I don't really care. I mean, maybe I will, maybe I won't. I don't know if I've made it clear, but my like 5-year goal, 5-year plan doesn't really exceed 2 weeks from now. So I don't know, maybe. Maybe at
okay,
some point.
Nice.
I'd love to southbound it if I was and do it a little differently. So
yeah. The one guy doing it right now in complete snow is absolutely crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen him.
So within a calendar year Triple Crown, like how often are you flipping between the trails? Like how often are you having to travel?
None. I didn't do any flipping. I went straight through each trail. So I think a lot of people flip or have that plan, but I don't really have the money. And I thought it would be pretty cool or special to have three individual through hikes that add up to the calendar year Triple Crown. So that was the goal. And I think wildfires could have inhibited that if that happened, but it seemed to work out that year. And yeah, it straight through. I went AT northbound, PCT northbound, and then CDT southbound.
Wow. Damn. That's awesome.
And did you, what month did you start in?
It's February, right?
February 5th to October 15th, I think.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so you were hitting snow in the Smokies probably like a ridiculous amount.
Yeah, the AT was my slowest of the three trails, and it's, of course, the shortest, but it got to well into the negatives. Like, I want to say negative 10, negative 15 or something in the Smokies and 4 feet of snow. It was, I had like a negative 4-degree bag. It was really rough. Couldn't get water. I just had to drink at the streams because it would just freeze in my bottle within 20 minutes. It was an adventure.
How do you mentally mentally prep for something like that? Like know what you obviously like know what you're getting yourself into, but how do you keep like a positive and motivated mindset?
Oh man. I don't know. I think just enjoying the adventure and being out there so much, and then as you've been through more and more things, it kind of adds up. Yeah, I think the prep really is just in the like experience or just having those things to draw on, that sometimes it's really hard, or you've been through snow like this before, the wind's been this bad before, or it's been this cold and It's like, okay, I know I can get some more warmth by tucking my toe box and my sleeping bag into my empty backpack to get some more insulation. It's like you just accumulate all these little tips and tricks and tidbits of knowledge that, like, you're so busy with this focus on what do I got to do each step of the way? Like, okay, I'm got a trail intersection that's probably going to be hard to see because the trees are snow blown, so the blazes are gone. It's like, in about 25 minutes, I got to veer left at an intersection. It's like, you're just so focused in on all that. I don't think you're like deciding, am I having fun or is this not fun? It's like, you're just in the moment, I think.
Wow.
Well, have you had any like life-threatening moments or like really sketchy moments on trail?
Man, probably when I couldn't post an Instagram reel was pretty sketchy. swimming across a river with ice on the side, I stripped butt naked, so I had dry clothes on the other side to put on for warmth, but nice. I was up in Maine, and that was stupid. It was so cold. And the bottom was slick, so I wore micro spikes on my shoes so that they would like have traction on the rocks. That was pretty cool.
Oh my god.
Oh, wait, talking about your Crocs, tell us about micro spikes. Tell us about you ice skating with Crocs.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So I walked over in micro spikes, then took the micro spikes off my Crocs and really just set that ice rink on fire with pirouettes and stuff. But yeah, over the summer I ran a 5K and won my age in Crocs. Yeah, I'm all about the Croc life.
Especially
in sport mode. Nothing can stop you when you're in sport mode.
Isn't it depressing how trendy it's gotten?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are in it for the wrong reasons, so I feel okay.
Everyone here in Korea wears them. Like, yeah. All of my students, like, every time I come in, they're always in them. I love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
They're so functional.
They are. They're in the most comfortable pair of shoes I think I've ever owned.
Yeah, wow. And they have, like, they have no air or mesh or cushion. They're just, like, foam. And they're amazing. They're like a massage.
Oh, they really are. Yeah, every night getting into camp and putting those things on, like, who needs a foot massage?
I should say on at least two of my through hikes, I have taken Crocs as camp shoes. I know they're heavy, but you know what? They're awesome, too.
It's the luxury. The luxury
items
you need.
I was gonna say, do you have any other luxury items, or is the Crocs, is that it?
I think I gave up a pillow just to bring Crocs. Yeah.
Nice.
Who needs a pillow? That's what exactly. The swim bag's for.
Crocs can be your pillow. Yeah, Crocs are my pillow.
Crocs can be your pillow.
Let's.
I had a question. I can't remember what it was. So.
I was gonna, let's jump into your FKTs. So which was the first FKT that you did?
So the first one, like, I actually went for and had like a big thing around it was the Arizona Trail FKT. And so I was living in Tahoe at the time, ski bumming, fulfilling that life goal, just cause I like checking them off the list, and was training in like blizzard conditions, running on ice, and then I drove down to Tucson and started the Arizona Trail FKT, and it went really well. I just finished about 5 or 6 months before I finished the Great Western Loop, so I had like 7,000 mile base pretty recently, and then I had training at 7,000 feet of altitude in Tahoe. And then just had to get used to the heat, but the Arizona Trail went really good. It was just like this different, it was like a very similar but different mindset. It was like I was trying to average 50 or 51 miles a day and just kind of tick the days off. And some days were good, some days were bad, but just was so able to stay kind of in the present and pushing forward, and actually was able to beat the supported time at the time, and just was like, holy cow, I'm hooked. So that's when I fell into it. And I mean, some good stories along that were 530-ish miles in, I was in Pine and my foot had split open so much that I walked a mile into town, got super glue, or maybe it was in my resupply package. Either way, got super glue and super glued the entire bottom of my feet so that the split wasn't open anymore, and proceeded to hike 250 more miles. So it taught me a lot about like what real drive and a goal really can bring out of you.
Dedication.
Oh, I'm imagining like going to a doctor and like picking up your foot and being like, this is, help me, like
glue. Absolutely.
Well, I'm assuming that was super painful.
It was when it was like raw and splitting. Once super glue was poured all over it, I mean, I couldn't feel a thing. It was like a club foot or something.
Wait, so why was your foot splitting open?
Because it was hot and I was sweating, and then it would be in like sweaty socks the whole time, and then my skin got like too soft and split open. Like, it was pretty gross, but there's some good photos. I'll have to dig through some of those. There's some good stuff.
Yeah, I want
to
see it.
I want to see how
super glued foot.
Yeah, I have some good blister popping footage. I mean, there's all types of good stuff when you put your feet through so much. Like, now I'll be running in the snow and everyone else's feet are cold, and it's like, I don't think I've felt my feet in years.
Oh my god. Ugh. Yeah, I lost a lot of feeling in my feet like just after the one through hike. So I can't imagine doing like triple the amount of miles.
Yeah. I think it just only stacks on top of it. So, but especially up, I would say north of the mid Atlantic for sure. Once you get like the roots and rocks and stuff, the AT, and when you're wading through like a creek every, I don't know, couple hours, that's when you start losing feeling in your feet. 'Cause you're like, screw it, just gonna walk straight through in my shoes again.
Yep. Every single time.
Can you explain for the people listening, like, what is the difference? What does it mean, like, supported, unsupported FKT? Like, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, like a supported FKT is like a race, kind of. So there's like crew members, which kind of have something like an aid station. You can have pacers with you, running, even sometimes carrying your stuff, I guess, and you just have this whole crew that is out there just to make you successful. And that means you don't have to carry all your stuff, you don't even have to sleep outside, lots of them sleep in a van. And then unsupported or self-supported pretty much means you're carrying all your stuff and you're self-reliant. There's no one out there helping you out, and you're like, you're bringing a tent if it's a long enough thing, and you're carrying all your food, you're carrying all your trash too. You're pretty much on your own. And that's what I like about it, because that's when you get to, like, I've had a couple where I've quit and it's like, I don't want to be out here. It's like, you really get to know your true intentions. If you really want it, you can do well. And if it's a goal, or you can be like, I am not in a good place to be trying this, I am just going to quit. And that's the best decision sometimes too. So it's really interesting. And I think I really fell into it and enjoyed it, because it takes through hiking where you're out there and you're kind of secluded and you're in your own head so much, really thinking about anything you could possibly want to think about. And in FKT, it's like 10 times that, and you get to know your body so much more. And, you know, you're fighting with things like, does this even matter? Much like on a through hiker, what's the point of all this? We save money and we're just walking through the woods. It's just like all those things that through hikers always think about that are both rational and irrational are like tenfold on an FKT. And I think I just like the dramatic nature of the FKT compared to the through hike. It's similar, but just escalated a little bit.
Yeah. What's your mindset in I guess quitting some of the FKTs that you tried? Is it like, I don't know, like, do you just say, I don't want to do this anymore, and immediately quit on trail? Or do you like wait on that feeling? And if you're feeling it the next day, you're like, okay, now I'm done.
Yeah. Always put some time in. So I've really only quit on two of them, but both were like, one was a Nolan's 14 FKT attempt, and it's 14 peaks that you have to do in 60 hours, about 100 miles. And on the first peak, it was like, this is not my day. Like, I was having bad asthma attacks. I was just like, this is not going to be fun. I hate this. And it was like, okay, let's get through three peaks. And if you still want to quit, you can quit. So got through three peaks and quit. And it was just like, I kind of like internally, I like respect and like the fact that it was like, okay, there is a middle ground, but it's not just going to be a spur of the moment, this is hard quitting thing. It was like, okay, got through this micro goal I set for myself. And it's like still the same feeling. It's okay to go home. And there's no shame in that. And then another was last September on the Superior Hiking Trail. And I did, after a day and a half, like I had a shoe, like the sole was ripping away from the shoe and the bottom of my pack ripped out. So like, there were excuses spinning everywhere. And it was just like, okay, you fix worse things than this. Let's piece it together and let's just get to about the halfway point, and then you can kind of decide. And it was just like, I don't know, it was a fragile mental state going into that one and all the adversity. I got to the halfway point. It was within striking distance of the FKT, but it was like, this just doesn't sound fun. So I quit that one, but I ended up just going up to the Boundary Waters in Minnesota and backpacking around there and had just an amazing time. I just took a hardcover book in my pack and sweatpants and just would like hike 10 or 15 miles a day, read at night. It was like, okay, this is the experience I needed. I went out for an FKT, but I found the right experience in the end.
Nice. Cool. Is doing something like an FKT, is it more of a mental game or more of a physical game?
So I think you have to be within a certain realm, like trained and physically and stuff. And then from there, it's all mental, I guess. Like you have to be like a minimum possible physically. And then after that, it's all mental, because in the moment, you show up and you are what you are, but within that FKT, I guess you can, it all comes down to mental. Like most mornings suck. Like getting off the ground when you're really sore is hard under the best circumstances and on a bad day. So it's just, yeah, it's putting those little micro goals in front of yourself. Like, all right, let's see how I feel after the third peak or something, or let's get to sunrise and see how things feel, or at this time I can eat this food, which I really like. You have to just put those little carrots in front of yourself that are the micro goals. And that's the same in ultra running too. And pretty much every sport out there is, you know, it's stupid to think of something in 100 miles long, because that's just a long way to even drive. And so if you're covering that on foot, it's like, how are you going to break that up? It's like, oh, at 5 miles, I'll have a Snickers. At 10 miles, there's an aid station. Or at 20 miles, if you're backpacking, going to set up camp here. And that's like the whole PCT too. It's like every one of these long trails is just short sections. That's why the AT is kind of special, because all the states, like it's got these defined borders that it, on the PCT, you're 1,700 miles in and you're still in California. So...
I'm so excited.
That should be fun.
Yeah. No, yeah, that Oregon sign looks pretty cool.
So which record was the most difficult to break?
Oh, man. Maybe the Colorado Trail, because I did 9 days unsupported, so I carried all my food and all my trash after I ate the food for 9 days. And it was hard. It was a long time. Like 9 days, once you get over like 4 or 5 days, 9 days is like such a dumb amount of time to think about. Like imagine doing anything for 9 days. Like, I don't know, most cleanses end at like 7 days. 9 days is too long. So I think the mental side of that was really hard, to just stay attached to that goal for that amount of time.
Are you always trying to meet like a mile marker every single day, like on a 9 day stretch?
No, I would say it's very fluid. Like for training, I train on like a weekly basis. So it's like in this week, I want to hit this number of miles or this number of hours training with usually this amount of elevation gain. So I try to do like metrics that are fluid. So if it's like I woke up tomorrow and it's like, dang, I do not feel like doing anything, it's like maybe I'll run 3 miles or something, but maybe the next day I'll make up for it and do something bigger. It's like I don't like to give those defined like failed or succeeded on each day, especially in an FKT. So it's like by 3 days, I would like to have averaged, like on the Arizona Trail, like I would like to be at mile 155 after 3 days. So it's like, however I'm going to do that. Maybe I did 60 miles day one, 40 miles day two, and 55 or something, or however it works. I think that's the best way for my mindset of you need to hit certain metrics and levels to be successful, but also the more chances you give yourself to consider yourself a failure, that's when you start spiraling in that, that mental side that's so fragile on pretty much everything, but especially FKTs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that.
I think the Colorado Trail, when you did that, that's when I like first started following along with your journey. And I just remember seeing all of the tiger print. Can you explain why you chose that?
Well, it's inherently stupid to spend money to go out and hike for 9.5 days unsupported in the wilderness for basically no reason. So how are you going to make it fun? How are you going to make it exciting? And how is that going to become a vacation? Because you could just go to an all-inclusive resort or something. So it was like, how can I start having as much fun with these things I already have fun with as possible? And so in 2018, I needed another layer on the Great Western Loop. So I was on Amazon and it was like, oh, this would be really cool to get like an animal print something. And so just fell down the rabbit hole, found this like big old tiger face on there. And it was the cheapest one. So I ordered it to Anaconda, Montana, picked that up and wore it the rest of the way. And I was just like laughing at the photos I was taking. I just had so much joy around this, just like kind of stupid, but also just funny way of, you know, tigers are cool. We thought they were cool when we were 5 years old. Why aren't we like still into them? And it was like, okay, this is the perfect place to show it. And so ever since then, it's been like, okay, what's like kind of fun? What'll put a smile on other people's faces if they see it? What's like different? Maybe encourage other people to be their true selves or, you know, show what they want to or have fun out there, because we are doing this for fun. We're not like getting paid to be out there. So it's like, how can we have the best time possible?
Is that why you also have a gorilla costume and a teddy bear costume?
Well, I think the teddy bear I found for $5 and the gorilla was $3. So
nice.
They just felt like deals you couldn't pass up. And like I've always said, a Santa costume should be in everyone's wardrobe, because you don't just want it at Christmas. It can be your Halloween costume. It can be your themed party costume. Like all these things, they have a place, and they have like a place in showing up to, I don't know, you're like catching up with a friend who's having a hard time. If you show up in a Santa costume, you know what? They'll smile. You got a smile already.
That's true. I mean, it kept you company during COVID, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Lots of company, just dress up as a new character every day.
Love it. Do you want to get into the rapid fires question?
Sure. Oh, okay. My. So we are going to take a break from the deep questions and just do a 60-second rapid fire question round. So answer just the first thing that comes into your head. No explanation possible, and we'll see how many questions we can get through.
Okay.
Wow. You want to start?
Yeah.
Forward. Here, wait, let me get the timer ready.
The timer.
Should have been doing that. All right, are you ready?
Ready? Yes. Yes, I'm ready.
All right. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Poles or no poles?
Poles.
Hang or sleep with your food?
Sleep with your food.
What is the best hiking shoe?
Hoka Speed Go.
Barkley Marathons or Last Man Standing?
Barkley Marathons.
Calendar or Triple Crown or the Great Western Loop?
Great Western Loop.
AT, PCT, or CDT?
PCT.
Best state to hike in?
Wyoming.
Favorite food to eat on trail?
Frozen burritos.
Smiles over miles or miles over smiles?
Oh, miles over smiles.
Longest mileage day?
Oh, like 100.
Shelter or tent?
Cowboy camp.
Best season to hike in?
Fall.
One luxury item you carry?
Crocs.
And time.
Nice.
Wait, frozen burritos?
Frozen burritos.
So I bought 24 frozen burritos for the Long Trail FKT and ate those for the whole thing.
Oh. I'm going to have to remember that.
How do you heat those up?
You don't.
So you don't. They just slowly thaw over time. Yeah, there's a lot there. Yeah, I don't know. I should have said Crocs were my favorite hiking shoe. Still beat myself up over these answers.
Somebody just said death to Hokas. Nah, how dare you? That's the best shoe out there. I mean, hike your own hike, I guess. But
yeah, I mean, shoes are so hard because everyone's foot's so different. And it's like the one thing I hate recommending to people. It's like, I don't know. Get some from REI and try them all out.
Yep, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
All right, back to it. Nice. Thank you for participating in that.
Oh, absolutely. That was awesome. Wish we could have gone all day. How many questions do you prepare? Have you ever not prepared enough?
I have 24 questions.
Holy cow. Okay.
Never run out.
Yeah.
Not yet. We usually get to the one about the hiking shoe or the best state, and people like halt and they're like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
So it wastes the time.
Yeah.
Going back to hiking state, Wyoming. Why is Wyoming your favorite?
The Tetons and the Wind River Range. I think it's like the one I want to spend more time in as much as anything. Because probably California would win or Colorado, but just as far as like the blown away by when you get to Wyoming, it's like, it's mostly a flat state with nothing going on, but the things that aren't are so incredible that it's like, holy cow, I could spend a month here.
Nice. Cool.
I also wanted to ask, because I saw it in the chat, are you sponsored by Mountain Dew?
No. there was about a year, now maybe 2 years ago, a number of influencers got paid an amount of money to post photos of them with Mountain Dew and the tagline, and I did a lot of satirical photos and made fun of all of them. And so I think that that is what everyone's calling back. And, you know, I just thought it was kind of funny because Mountain Dew was entering the sacred space of the outdoors, whereas like most of the Garbage Patch Island is Mountain Dew bottles. So, you know.
Yep. So let's talk about last year. You made a post that you did a bunch of trails. Were you routing those trails or just hiking them? It was like Reflection Canyon and Boulder Mail Trail, like all of those ones.
Yeah. I run a site called Backpacking Routes with a couple other writers. And those are areas I'd wanted to explore and wrote them up for that site. So I guess a little of both. I've fallen in love with kind of Southern Utah and some of the canyons, and it's like Mars down there, which is so cool because it's like unlike most places. And to segue into that, came up, and I think we have 80 plus trails on there now. And it's all, the whole mindset behind it is like ATP, CT, CDT, awesome, go do them. Those are all out there. But once you've done one, or you only have a couple weeks off, or a weekend, or 6 weeks or something, what are some of the other trails or through hikes you can do? The resources aren't out there in the same number that the Triple Crown trails are. So we've centered it around, we have everything from the Arizona Trail to Reflection Canyon. One's 800 miles, one's 20 miles. And it's just like almost hike your own hike, pick your own hike, and the resources are there and we're adding to it constantly. And it's been a really cool project to just kind of give back and give resources to the hiking community, of like the GPS files embedded in the site. You can download that It's not on Gut Hook, but we try to have as much water stuff and like seasonal link to stuff and a full description. And yeah, we pay writers to write it up and stuff too. So it's been a really cool resource to just expand it for one, giving people the opportunity to through hike any distance they want to. And also like this spread out kind of the wear and tear of like, you don't have to spend 28 years section hiking the AT. You can, and that's awesome. But you could also do 28 different trails if you want, and you get to choose that versus only knowing that the AT's there. Like, even some of the East Coast trails we posted on there have been like, holy cow, I didn't know there were even trails out there. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, we like just discovered your website there, yeah. And we're like addicted to, like, we're daydreaming all the trails we could do now.
Yeah, ever since I saw the Coho's post, yeah. I need to go do that. Like, my favorite part of the AT was up in Western Maine. And yep.
Yeah, I want to go do the Coho's too. It looks awesome. And there's like, especially that area, the Northeast, there's all these like, I don't know, week-long adventures you can have, mm-hmm. that are like the perfect amount of time to still have a real life. So it's yeah. really cool, which is like, as we've talked, what I'm really balancing in life is how do you have a real life and also hike a bunch, because obviously I love both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you find these? I mean, do you have multiple people like uploading these routes?
Yeah, so we do, so usually through the Instagram or through the website or the newsletter, we'll put out like a call for pitches, and we've just really organically grown that way. And as all three of us being writers in the industry, we pay at least a somewhat fair amount for each route, or at least propose it. You know, you can obviously decline or whatever, but it's like, we want to pay you for your work. I hate the websites that are just like, oh, for exposure or something. And
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
It's like, no, let's value you in some regard. And, you know, you get a full bio for doing it and a little bit of money. And I don't know, it's like growing a community of like, yeah, we haven't hiked all these trails. So if you want to write it up, we'll value your time and effort and bring you in on the website to be, you know, a small chunk of it too. So that's cool.
Is that how you find, like different routes to do yourself? Like, is that how you pick like, oh, I'm just going to go out west or out east and do this trail?
Probably not. I think my bucket list is like 7 lifetimes long. I think it's, I would say leaning more on friends, especially from that 2011 timeframe of that first hike, is now some of them are retired and hike a ton, or at least have the exposure, love reading about it, and just shoot things back and forth and text and stuff. And that's how I find out a lot more. But I would say as we grow, I definitely find out about things, at least find out about regions through that site, especially. I would say like learning how much is in like, I don't know, the Adirondacks or something is kind of unique.
Are there any routes that you've done that you're like, yeah, I'm never doing that one again? Like, are there any?
Wow. I probably wouldn't do the Pinhoti Trail again. I thought that the Alabama section was surprisingly amazing, but the Georgia section sucked. So I don't know that I would do it again. I don't know. Probably as life goes, I probably won't do the long trail again. It was so hard, but it was awesome. I loved it. It's just, I can't see a point where I'm like, yep, I want to go back and do like the hardest through hike I can think of.
Makes sense. To counter that, what trail would you recommend everyone go do that maybe is under the radar?
I mean, it's starting to get above the radar, but the Arizona Trail is a really incredible trail. It's a lot less desert than everyone thinks. There's so many mountain ranges in Arizona. I would also say, the Pacific Northwest Trail, I think, should get some more love. It's one of the most variable trails. It's so rare you get to see the sunset over the ocean while you're camping on it at like 10 p.m. when you're in like the Pacific Northwest on like in the Olympic on the Olympic Peninsula, I guess is how you'd say it. That's like a really cool section. And then you climb up to the divide. You end at Glacier National Park, depending on which way you go. It's like any trail that goes east-west, I think, is really cool because it's so contrary to how we think. Like, I think we all say northbound or southbound. It's kind of cool to think, like, differently, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well said.
Do you want to jump in?
Yeah, you do it.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to talk about last person standing race, Barkley Marathons, Nolan 14. So how do you find out about these races to begin with? Like, how did they come up on your radar? They just seem so ridiculous.
Yeah, I think I found out about Barkley in maybe 2014 or something. And it's like a many year process to get in. So that became kind of a goal there. I think you just like strangely hear about these things and they resonate, or whether it's in like a Reddit forum or a White Blazes sub forum or like a weird thing or a mention, you just like put a pin in it and you're like, huh, I should look into that a little bit more. Or I don't know, even like FKTs a few years ago were one of these things that I only heard about them because when I was doing the PCT in 2011, Scott Williamson was setting the FKT on it. And it was like, what the heck's an FKT? Fastest known time. Okay, that's no help. What does that even mean? It's like, why wouldn't you just say a trail record? But that's when you like kind of get obsessed and fall into them. And I would say that's sort of how I am. It's like, I can plan for something in a week, but some of these goals are like, I don't know, a 3, 4, 5 year reach of a goal to get to try. And so, I don't know, everything, I love the variability, much like going east-west versus north-south. It's like, well, that's a crazy idea. I think I want to try it. So, which is like, so Nolan's 14, it's a 14. So it's 14,000 foot peaks in under 60 hours. It's about 100 miles, but there's no trail and it's self-orienteering. And yeah, I mean, I guess that's how undefined it really is. You just tag each of the peaks, hit each of the trailheads at each end of it in under 60 hours. And that's kind of how it is. And something like the last person standing is a little more defined. Like you run in, there's a couple iterations, but the one I did is you run a 1 mile loop every 15 minutes forever until there's only one person left. And the other iteration is you run a 4 mile loop every hour. But yeah, either way. And yeah, I don't know. I just love that people come up with these and I'm one of the suckers who ends up being like, oh, that's an awesome idea. I'll do it.
I have so many questions about each one of these things. For the Barkley Marathons, you have to write an essay to get in.
Yeah, at a specific time to a specific email address in a specific format. Yeah, it takes like a couple years to figure out how to get in.
Oh God! Okay,
no, not how to get in. How to apply, and then it takes a couple more years. And now he probably gets like 600 to 1,000 essays a year that you have to figure out what he's looking for and somehow get selected. So you're like 40 out of 1,000 people.
And it's just this random man, right? His name Lazarus, right? That's his name.
That's his pen name. Yeah.
That's his pen name. Okay. Yeah.
Is it real name's like Gary Cantrell? Yeah.
Nice.
Can you explain what the Barkley Marathon is? We read the post on your website about it.
Yeah, it's just going to confuse everyone more, but I'll take my best shot. So
yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so it's a race with no technology. It's so it's secret when it's happening. So it can start anywhere in a 12-hour window. He's going to blow a conch shell 1 hour before the race starts. So once he blows that, you have 1 hour to get to the starting line. And the day before this race is the first time you see the route. So he puts out a map and you have to copy it down on your own map. And then with your hopefully very accurate map you've drawn, you have to use a compass to navigate along it. And instead of like chip timed events, it has paperback books. And so once you get to each book, you have a bib number. So if my bib number is 40, I tear out page 40 of each of the 13 books. And then when I show back up at the end of the loop, I show him that I have 13 page 40s from his books. And then I've completed the loop. And so each loop is 26 miles. The whole race starts with him lighting a cigarette. And that's when everyone runs off into the woods. There's no trail. It's undefined. And it takes five of these loops to complete the Barkley Marathons. And I think 15 people have ever done it. And I was able to complete one loop too slow. But yeah, it was just a mess. There was so much fog. It rained like an inch and a half the day before the race. It was awesome. It was like we sat. It was so steep. We sat on our butts and slid down the hill. Like you couldn't even stay on your feet. There's no trail. Like it was amazing. The most fun I've ever had running, but the most likely failure ever too.
Right before he lights the cigarette, what's going through your head?
Oh, it's just like, wow, this is so stupid.
I want to back up to the essay written. Is it like a cover letter? Are you like writing?
Like so telling a story?
This is where it's so great. It can be anything you want. Some people have drawn pictures and gotten in. Some people have been like funny. Some have been very serious. Like it can be anything you want. The title that's just why I should get to run the Barkley why I deserve to run the Barkley Marathons. And it's called Marathons because it's five marathons. Each loop is a marathon. But yeah, it can be anything. It's the most open-ended everything with very defined things. Like if you mess up on some of the defined things, you're not going to be running it. But some of the things are so open-ended that you're like, oh gosh, I hope I did that right. And you never really know until you're like in.
That's the most stressful project ever. What?
And it happens down in Tennessee, right?
Yeah. Frozen Head State Park in Tennessee. Yep.
That sounds like a Tennessee thing. Yeah, like, that sounds like the most Tennessee thing you can do.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a desire to attempt it again and complete it?
Oh, yeah. I'm crazy. Of course I do. Yeah.
Nice.
I know the whole route for one loop where most of the books are now, and or at least in the general area. It's like, yeah, I want to go back. I'm itching to go back.
Oh, my gosh. So now the Nolan's 14, you hiked for 60 hours straight?
I didn't really run any of it. I did it in 59 hours and 30 minutes. And my favorite part is I kind of showed trail runners that through hiking is very similar. So I had like a full backpack with my full Great Western Loop gear in it and just basically power hiked, the whole 100 miles in 59 hours and got my name on their little website. And it was just like, cool, I guess like you don't have to be an ultra runner to go at ultra runner speeds.
When do you feel like a floating head?
So you don't sleep. How do you not fall asleep?
I'm really good at hallucinating, I would say. Like on the Arizona Trail, the Colorado Trail, the Long Trail, Nolan's 14, I've always seen things and it's always just like, whoa, this is crazy, this is weird, but I guess I'll just keep pushing forward. Like on the Arizona Trail, one of the trees had like this massive shadow and it looked like a witch had a broom that was just sweeping me up like into her dustpan. And it was like, whoa, I know this isn't real, but this is pretty cool to see right now. And that's kind of how it felt like that sleepless on Nolan's 14 too. It's like, I had marked some waypoints so I knew where I was headed so I could kind of keep my mind about me just to be like heading the right direction. But along the way, it's like, whoa, this is kind of crazy that cone up there looks like a backhoe up on top of a mountain or something. It's like, I don't know what's going on, but, and then, yeah, even last year I ran a 250 mile race and slept like 16 minutes through 3 days. And I thought I saw a construction crew like paving this gravel road I was running on. And I got up to where they were and there was nobody there. It was so, so weird. Like, that's when I distrusted my eyes so much. It was like, what did I just see? Like, all the stumps next to the trail, it was like, as I was far away, they were like abandoned cars. And when I got close, they were just like tree stumps. And it was like, oh my gosh, what's going on?
So. We interviewed Quadzilla in the beginning of this season, and he did, oh, what did he do? Somewhere, was it Utah or Arizona?
Ultraman?
It was like Dead Man's. It was like 115-mile ultra run.
Yeah, and, near Chama, New Mexico, at the after his run. Yeah, I wrote about him for Trail Runner magazine, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. He said by like mile
Dead Man Peak Trail Race.
He said by mile one, I don't know, like 100, like after he hit the 100-mile mark, he was just not surviving. Like, he was limping to the end. And how do you do 250 miles over 3 days?
Just, I don't know. Fueled by depression. Yeah. I don't know.
Shit.
I think it's just like, it's really those micro goals. Like, I don't know, I probably broke it up into 70-mile segments or 80-mile segments for each day. Just like an attainable or more attainable thing. I don't know. I had so much fun. I met so many other runners out there who are like, ah, oh, this is so hard. I don't know why I did it. And it was like, I don't know, this is like the most fun I've ever had. Like, like you're doing a 250-mile through hike. I think the cutoff was 5 days. And there's aid stations every at least 20 miles. So it was like, it's almost like I'm getting a catered through hike here or something. And of course, I was like running some of the steps, but it was just this different mindset of, I was dropping down in distance. All these other runners had done like 100-miler, but now I had to do, you know, like 150 more miles. And I was just like, oh, 250, like, guys, we can walk through this. It's not a big deal. Just stand by me. We got this covered. And but going from through hiking into ultra running, I had no idea how it went. So I showed up at the start line and everyone else had drop bags for everywhere. And it was like, okay, I'll put a drop bag together. And then I brought two backpacks up there and they're like, where are these going? And it was like, oh, I thought they were getting shuttled to all the aid stations. And they're like, no, everyone else has like 20 different drop bags. And it was like, ah, shoot. Well, just take them to a couple places in the middle. And then I just put a spare pair of socks in my running pack. I had no crew and just ran 250 miles with like socks drying on my backpack half the way and just complete hiker trash way to do 250 miles.
What kind of people do you meet doing these? Like, what kind of like athletes or non-athletes? Like, who are the people that are doing these?
Way more prepared people than I am. Yeah. like so many engineers. I don't know. Like a lot of people who do a lot of very, I don't know, analytical things, I guess, in their day jobs, which is, I don't know if that's how you wanted the question to go about, but it's very interesting how they're very, like, it's very spreadsheet oriented. I think even through hiking is too. And
yeah,
it's cool. And it's very interesting that, yeah, there's all types for sure, but there is this, like, I don't know, subset of people that open up so much to the trails and are like, you'd never guess they're an engineer, but then you meet them like for a beer in their hometown and it's like, oh, you're definitely an engineer. It's so funny how at home all these different types of people can feel on the trails, whether it's backpacking, through hiking or trail running, because it just like strips away everything else. It's like, maybe you're a spreadsheet person or maybe you're just like me and have no idea what you're doing and somehow finish it. But either way, it's sort of like, we're just doing the same thing and it's pretty cool. And I don't know. I think I really like that you get to open up and hear people open up that are a lot different too.
Yeah.
Kind of back to what's so cool about thru hiking too.
Do you feel like it's a strength of yours to kind of just show up and learn as you go through a lot of these projects that you take on?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I feel like I know the this probably describes my college experience, the minimum possible to be successful. And that's what I've carried forward in life. If college taught me one thing, it's like, oh, a 90.0 gets an A. That's what I'm shooting for. Like, there it is. I feel like that's how I show up. It's like, I show up ready to get a 90. I got it.
Nice. Words to live by.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, don't overplan. Yeah. Just like you guys, 3.5 weeks, good to go.
There goes. Just full send.
Yep.
How does your body react when you finish these kinds of things?
It hates me. mostly just stiffens up. I guess as much as I don't plan or have a set schedule, I sort of do have the whole like continued motion all the time. And that's kind of the training is, yeah, if I want to go bike riding, or now if I want to go skate skiing or backcountry skiing or running or hike back, like I'll throw on a backpack and go hike 8 miles up a hill or something. It's like any realm of continued motion, I think it all flows into each other. And that's kind of my whole mindset on training, and probably why I've been pretty good at being versatile across some sports, is like, it doesn't matter. You don't need to say you ran 100 miles this week when you can add in some backpacking. And, you know, like I've gotten into now, I finally hit 7 days in a row of stretching. And it's like, we can do a lot of different things that are good for our body that aren't just running or hiking or, I don't know, all kinds of things. It's like, I don't like to be constrained to one thing. It's like, let's just slowly get better at a lot of things. And then they cross over, and you can meet 3 times as many people if you do 3 different sports.
Mm, true. Are you ever afraid on how much exertion you're putting on your body?
Not afraid, but yeah, I definitely know it's going to come back. And I mean, it hurts sometimes, but I don't know. Like,
but the pain.
I guess I'd rather my body get old before my mind. So let's use that up.
Live while you're young, right?
Yeah. I think it's like that whole thing when I was 20 and did the first through hike and everything, got a lot of comments of wish I'd done this, or it's so awesome you did it. And not always everyone like in the close to me was always thinking that, but it was just like this whole external thing of people that I didn't know very well saying that. And it was just like, okay, if I have these opportunities and maybe I can't do it forever because I'm doing it now, it's like, well, at least I did it. Like, you know, you could be able to do it forever, or you could just never do it. So I don't know. I guess it's kind of the do it while you can and see what happens later.
Yeah. I was going to ask before, like, entering this more like outdoorsy community, friends and family before, how do they react to you doing all of this stuff? Like, were they surprised by you going out and doing all this, or not surprised?
Not surprised, but concerned that I would never be able to support myself, probably. I think they were, I mean, it was fairly new. It wasn't like you saw the PCT on the news or anything back. This was before even Wild. Oh my gosh, so long ago. That sensational book from Oprah's Book Club. But I think that my parents were like, okay, well, we'll see what this leads to. And then family members have been like, okay, well, that's worked out good. And then like wrote a book and stuff. And they're like, well, this is still interesting. We'll just like have some opinions, but kind of reserve judgment. And it's just been like so different than, I don't know, like all their friends' kids or something. But yeah, I think it's been a slow warming up process, but I've had some great supporters in my family and some that have warmed up slower. But it's just a very, anytime any of us is telling our parents or family members we're going on a thru hike, especially your first one, they're like, okay, and then what? Or why? Or like, So you saved up all your money and you're gonna do this. Like, are you gonna buy a house or something? And it's just like, I don't know, we all work through that, and I guess I've gotten to do it for now 11 years, and it's fine. I think it's good if you have your internal plan and you're like, I think a lot of us thru hikers are kind of discounted with, well, maybe myself with my concrete plan, but like our longer term plan, it's like, yeah, we're not doing things we haven't budgeted for. We're not like being stupid about how we're living our life. It's like we are the experienced generation. We're going on these experiences. And like I said earlier, we could go to an all-inclusive like resort or a cruise or something for similar to a 4 to 5 month like thru hike. And you know what? It's pretty awesome. We're choosing the 4 to 5 month thing. And it's only weird to so many people because it's 4 to 5 months. It's not like we're spending the same amount on a bachelor party or 1 weekend of a wedding that equals the amount of a thru hike or like 3 thru hikes. So I don't know. I think it's just this length of time bothers people as much as the money. It's like you could be using that time better. And it's like, I don't know. I used a lot of time leading up to it to have this time to stretch some money out and to have an awesome experience.
Well said, well said.
Amen. I wanted to talk about your book real quick. What was the process like for creating a book and writing about your experiences? When did you
Oh
decide
my
that you
God.
wanted to?
Oh, that was so hard to write a book. Yeah, like lots of ups and downs. Really. So I blogged every single day of, I think, every single adventure, whether it's an FKT or a thru hike. So I don't know, probably like 3 years worth of a daily blog on my website. And then kind of just went through that day by day and had a map open on the split screen and then was typing up kind of along the way. And then at the end of that, I, you know, had to be like, well, so much of this is boring. Let's start cutting it down. And that's when the fun really started. And I guess like to go back to why write a book, I don't know, I'd like pave the way to writing a book by blogging daily on the calendar year Triple Crown. It was just like, yeah, I've always been like, oh, what if I ever wrote a book? And I guess once I did the calendar year Triple Crown, it was sort of like, well, I already did a what if. Why wouldn't I just like cross off the book one of what if I wrote a book? It's like I already did the what if I could do all three in 1 year, like I was thinking about on the PCT. So it was like, well, I guess this is the perfect recipe to write a book about it. And so yeah, went through them all. I don't know, probably ended up with 300,000 words at the end of it, which is insane. And then cut that down to like, I don't know, maybe like 120 and some editing, worked with a couple people, and then yeah, put it out there. And yeah, first book's never the best thing you can ever create, but it's also the book. Like you made a book. So it's pretty cool to just like get to release something out there and do it and have, you know, working slowly towards a Great Western Loop book and would love to get that out there. But yeah, life is busy, but it's I'm just glad I even got through one.
Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I know you talk about that you don't really plan far ahead, but what's your next adventure?
So I just booked my ticket for what day is it? Wednesday for Saturday to go out to the Ozark Highland Trail. So I'm gonna go
Nice.
Cool.
hike that and maybe throw down an FKT. I'm gonna hike it one direction, and then if I'm feeling really cool and good about myself, then I'll try to like do the whole thing in 2.5 days going back. So
Hell yeah.
nice.
That's awesome.
we'll
Good luck
see.
with
Thanks. Yeah, it was like, yeah, it was like I have this 2 week window. It's like, let's just squeeze this in. Let's go for it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So like as we're kind of wrapping up here, what would your advice be to potential first time thru hikers?
Yeah, go as soon as you think you want a thru hike, just either go to the REI garage sale, go to buy some used gear, do whatever, and just go on an overnight. See if you even like it. Like, maybe like get a friend, get your best friend, go just go on a thru hike. I think that there's so much good stuff on like YouTube and the internet, but I think there's too much reliance on that. I think you should just, you don't even have to go stay overnight, but just go on a hike. Like go decide if you like the act of walking on a trail. Go to see if you like, I think there's so, the one thing that bothers me lately is there's a lot of quitting because people aren't into it. And that's a hard thing because it's like, we've sensationalized it. We have a few people at the top or a few well-known people that like put out these videos and it's really awesome. And like, maybe some people want prestige by doing something or an accolade or like to do it. But then there's all these other reasons that most of the people are out there for. It's like, I want to have this adventure or get to be in nature or something. And I think the best advice I would give is just go on a hike or go sleep in a tent and just go decide if it's something you want to spend your time and your money doing, because that's going to save you so much in the long term. There's a lot of other places in life you can get prestige or enjoyment or satisfaction. If thru hiking isn't the one, don't waste that whole month deciding that you didn't like it. And I think that's the biggest thing. The thru hiking community is awesome. There's a lot of great people out there who love the trails. I just think that we can save some of the people who end up out there and don't like it. We can save a lot of them, I think, by just being like, yeah, go take your running shoes and go on a 10-mile walk and decide, is it boring or did you like it?
What advice would you have for someone that wants to do maybe a bigger feat, like a calendar year triple crown, or try to go for an FKT? What advice do you have for them, maybe in preparation or just the mental game?
Yeah, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. So wake up at 4 a.m. and go on a 10-mile run. Go drive to the mountains and post hole for an hour. Like, you got to be in this mindset where it can be really, really rough and really hard, but come out of it being positive. Like, it doesn't have to be just strenuous or miserable. Like, when it's pouring rain, go on a hike. Like, you just got to get comfortable with, okay, things aren't perfect and aren't working out. Or it can even could be really windy. You just got to find these like uncomfortable situations and just put yourself in them and be like, okay, now I can draw on this in the future. I made it through. At the end of the day, it was like, all right, I'm good. I can do this. And once you have those like notches in the belt to bring back, you're going to feel a lot better about everything.
Nice.
Well said. Okay. Last advice question and then we'll stop. What advice do you have for Legend who is still on trail or is currently hiking, what to do or what to not take for granted?
For myself?
For yourself.
Oh my. Geez. I would say probably for myself and all thru hikers, like, just eat 25% better. Eat like, eat all the junk food, all the crap you want, everything in town. But just when you're resupplying between locations, just maybe put back three of the like Twinkies or like honey buns or like bad items, and just 25% better. I promise you'll feel better. The sugar rush is like the nemesis of thru hikers. Just 25% less sugar and you'll thank me, I promise.
Love it.
And then last, is there anything that you want to let the thru hiking world know, or how people can keep up to date with you?
Yeah, I think the one message that should be out there is there's kind of that relatable person or that similar person from everyone's walk of life. Now there's so many thru hikers, which is so cool because there's going to be someone with your mindset, your speed, your everything. Like, if you don't initially find your trail family or your best friend or whoever you want to hike with out there, like, they're out there. Just give people a chance. Maybe their background is so different from you, but on the trail you're so similar. And I think that's the coolest thing about thru hiking is just give people a chance. And if they're not right, that's okay. Don't stick it out if you're not enjoying it. It's your hike at the end of the day. And then you can find me, my website's freeoutside.com. That's the name of my book too. At The Free Outside on Instagram, which we're live on Instagram, so you can probably find me easily. And then Jeff Garmeyer on Twitter. And yeah, from there, just, I don't know, Google me, Jeff Garmeyer. Don't dive too deep or else it gets weird.
Sweet. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure being able to talk to you.
This has been a lot of fun.
You're crazy and you're badass. And
I love it. You guys are fun. Yeah, I'm excited to follow your hike. Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll talk soon, okay?
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye.
Did y'all enjoy the conversation with Legend? If you want to follow along with his adventures, head over to his Instagram, which is at The Free Outside. You can also go over to his website, freeoutside.com, to learn more about him. If you want to check out an amazing U.S. Backpacking Trails database, go over to his other website, backpackingroutes.com. If you want to join in on future live chats, you can head over to our Instagram, which is at Let's Trek Together. We go live once a week, usually on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to get in contact with us, feel free to DM us on Instagram or send an email to letstrektogether@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, we would love it if you gave us a rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you consume this episode. Until next time, guys, let's trek together.